Elegant Sea Urchin is an eldritch audio drama written, produced, and presented by Studio Swoon as part of the greater Swooncraft Creative. It would mean a lot if you shared or supported us. Head over to elegantseaurchin.xyz if you're so inclined. And before the program starts, one listener requested that we see what our celestial neighbors were up to. Reports from the quantum telegraph machine tells us that they're offended that we have increased masturbation and are preparing for combat if we do not cease. Their troops are expected to arrive by the turn of the third millennium, so we had best prepare. We're good at that, right? Preparing for the future? Hey, you, listening. Thanks. And enjoy. Here atop the spires, the gulf is a sight to see. The entire Atlas blotch is visible. And with the hues of the fire season, it's a cascading vortex of reds and oranges. There's no distinct life I can make out, skimming the surface of the dusty sex, but we do make out the occasional moss skipper and galleon. Another 60 or 70 days, and the moss faring will stop. Even the most hardened elders and dooks are unable to withstand the blooming of the teal season. The pollen is something fierce. Like a Strazodon in a death roll, it grips you and whips your mind until it's shredded and tattered. An earnestly horrible way to go. With the thinning of the smogs, there's rumors that ventilators might be usable against the weakened pollen. The whole ecosystem of the smogs, miasma, and gulf works in tandem. As the smogs wane, less miasma flows from the mountaintops, and with less miasma, the less viscous moss across our tangerine speck breeds. There are theories of what may happen if the great moony moss dies. I'm of the mind to believe it'll turn into vast basins of sludge, much like the Augur Lake. There's some other theories out there, but that seems like the one that makes the most sense, right? I mean, life still thrives in the Augur Lake, but you know, it's different, with magnitudes less flora. I also think it's what the world wants. I'm not sure how to explain, but it just feels like over the past several millennia, our tangerine speck has been trying to return to something unknown to us, something similar to what it was like before the glowing dawn. Do we let nature do what it needs, or do we as a people with sentience attempt to keep a whole world strangled? I think the Eldritch could benefit as much as we could. Change isn't easy though, but Uncle Kay told me that plans thought well enough through could move the hearts of any they that understands our words. Change seemed to be the main focus of this season of the fire in our year of Swixteen Sate. I was actually a little eager. I had begun having strong bouts of horror because of how difficult my life could be because of the magenta I see and seem to manipulate. But the mere thought of having some way to make things easier, have some sort of hold on them, even without any plans or action yet, I mean, it put me at ease. Yule thought it would be a good idea to try on my own sooner than later. I wasn't super certain if this was a good idea. I doubt anything crazy will happen. I wasn't sure I believed Yule, though. It's dangerous, but once the idea sunk in, I did agree that having a more recent, less loathsome experience might help. Look, I'll be right here. She patted the wall and waved a scroll. Pilot gave me some good reading material, and if things start getting weird with you, I can stop you. The way she said so, with such certainty, made a chill run down my back. I wanted to know how, but I could imagine. I drifted up. I wondered how to get anything started without being high tide, without being terrified, or without the aid of a familiar. The ability is definitely there. I watched the distant horizon. Magenta. Fragmented magenta dimensions. Magenta.
Magenta. Dimensions. Magenta. Magenta.
Time passed. Faint, small ripples over the moony moss from great things within its current spiraled around. The sound of my heart was like a drum, the soft sighs of Yule, the rustle of the scroll she read, the soft crunch of a snack she was enjoying. Magenta. A very thin film coated the world. I stretched my legs and found the ground. The rippling echo of my footfalls distorted the world, one after the other, but I heard something faint. It was someone talking, just so softly. Step after step, I followed faint reverberations across the peach film until I reached a door. As I was, I couldn't... Well, I don't know for certain. I just had this feeling I shouldn't try to interact with the surface level of the magenta. But I leaned close to hear. And I heard a very G-fied voice. It echoed through the dimensions.
You look in there, it's a tired bogey.
And I looked, squinted, seeing through the cellophane, and sure enough, I think there was a doorball game playing. Through my focus on the game, I lost what I was doing. A waste slipped my hold on everything. A warping, rippling, metallic pulled me through the collapsing pink film, and all was still. Faye. Faye? I blinked. Yule was laying beside me. I was laying down too.
You okay?
Her dimples were deep, the marble skin under her eyes a shade off her normal complexion. Of course, I've never seen things so faintly. Yule, are you okay? What time is it?
I'm great. It's probably been like 2/7. You were really going through something, so I laid down with you.
We were in the capital. Yule had wanted to look at the Taylor Hollows, and well, if I were honest with myself, I kind of wanted to as well. My dresses from the jaunt over the curve were ruck-tailed. Scarred and blotched, mostly from the last trickle of our current through the brambles of the woods around Lunatha. There were designs that I had only seen in text back in the cove. Some of them reminded me of the fractals I sometimes see. Others had these beautiful rough transitional smears of color. I found a few royal and scarlet dresses and skirts, Yule even convinced me to get a couple of the stretchy kinds of clothes that she gets. My figure isn't marble, so I'm unsure that my curves are fit for a layer of scales. But when I tried them on, Yule assured me the shimmer glass looked beyond amazing. Right? That's how you translate something like infinitely loathsome. I laughed and told her that worked. When she zinged off to find something else, I watched myself in a mirror. I'm not sure I recognize the Fable Nox looking back at me, but our movements were the same. There was no magenta or pink after images of some other fae. And this fae, the one watching me from the looking glass, she'd lost weight. We appeared haunted still, but not in the same way that we had back in the cove. I moved towards the mirror. I think I had even grown a little. My hair was a mess, purple smoke that wafted down to the small of my back. It needed to be cut. My eyes startled me. There were these flecks in my irises. They flittered in the light, and this strange outline, like a fiery rose corona, warbled around the deep blue I was familiar with. Yule came back with a couple other things for me to try, and I guess I had to admit, the stretchy scales looked decent on me. Drink. Piley's eyes were strewn, frightful, awful. My brain was fried. I still felt shards of magenta spiking and swirling and dissipating all throughout my body. I tasted the acrid bile from my stomach on the roof of my mouth. I had to distract myself and not think about the immense multitude of what I had witnessed. Where does peppercorn come from? After the question, I didn't bother with the straw for the fist. I stuck the small plastic hole to my mouth and sucked until it broke, flooding my mouth with a sour, sweet taste that didn't seem to fit what I remember of the berry flavor. I was still glad for the drink. It should be an easy answer, but I'd be honest with you if I said I knew. I grimaced at the flavor, but felt sure that my features were covered by the container. Piley seemed to be lost in thought, watching the horizon and the spires. I asked Duren when I was young. He said he believed it had something to do with the shape of the Reculum, but don't know where he gets that idea. I looked to the spires, their fixed place over the moony moss, the bulbous peaks worn away by the smogs, the slender concavity of the pillars, the blossoming bell end of the bases, and the sickly remains of the pillars that seemed to once reach all the way into the moony moss and the earthly foundation beneath. You know, Faye, he thinks a lot like you. Grand ideas that seem to come from nowhere. I rolled my head to look at the smogs, finally done, gulping down the fist. My grand ideas aren't my own. I'm just doing what other people want. My mind felt better. I looked at the empty fist in my hand. Oh, that's not a bad thing. Piley turned, nothing pinned on her face. It was one of the few times she seemed to be genuinely maskless. And she looked like she was both hurt and hopeful. Isn't a bad thing. I shoved myself up to sit and nodded. You know, that fist you gave me seemed really off. Piley sighed a little and laughed. That's a special brew we get the launch. Not sure where it comes from, but Shiners use it after your first couple sessions. It seemed like a good idea, like you're missing something in your head pen, you know? It's definitely immediately helping, and that was honest. A lot of the kaleidoscopic worrying in my mind had faded to after images. Her eyes found the horizon and slowly looked up. Not at the smogs, but like a true lunatic, she was looking beyond the smogs. Good. Hailey smiled, smiling without her smile being pinned on. If you feel better, I think you could manage a little more. Only if you can get some starberries for Yule to make some of her slush. That's a deal made before you even got to speak. Hailey wrapped an arm around me, talking about what she had observed, picking my memory of what I went through, speculating what I could do to find control. With Yule, Pylee, and myself all working towards our own ends, but still working together, this Scarlet season is more like a season of dreams. I think Yule was also starting to receive aid, assistance, from Pylee, but I couldn't confirm. She was cooking more, though. I don't know if Elder Ferrozine or just a want to be an important part of the travels inspired her, but I really liked seeing her do something that she didn't seem forced to do, or to do out of tradition. Dreamberry peels laid near a pile of purple-gray mush. The glowing seafoam and aqua seeds of the fruit sparkled within, some pulverized to a point where the fluorescence seemed to smear through the mass, like streaks of stars, or rocketing stars. I began wondering about the crusade under the stars. From what I think we've all read, stars are fixed things in the canopy beyond the smogs, but I wonder if they are, really. Or if they all are. There's exceptions to everything, right? People like me in this world. Places like this in this world. Dukes that have resonated through time. Legacies of families that have done things for this world. If those outliers didn't exist, it'd all be the same. There'd never be progress. There's definitely rocketing stars. I don't know if it takes a crusade, but the goal of the stars is one that is worth a lifetime? Something like that. I don't think it's worth more than that, though. Yule interrupted my musing. You want to try some? I drifted forward with a nod. I brushed my finger through the top layer of the clod and stuck it into my mouth. It's not sour at all. Wow. Yule's dimples pierced her cheeks. She held up a tray of the goop, spread out in strips. I used a little mold moss and some rose lemon. I'm gonna dry them out and see how they are as chews. Dreamberry chews. That sounds amazing, Yule. Yule nodded. Yeah, I was thinking of giving them away at one of the markets in Nairtel. You know, see what they think of them. You can make a huge batch of these for that celebration Pylee mentioned, too. When I looked from the mush to Yule, she didn't seem as enthusiastic as I thought she might be. Yeah, maybe. I can't remember the last time I mentioned the UV Wavecast. Listeners, I've been told there were... Well, the tail end of this humble ripple I cast on is highly sought after. They recently sent a message to the Soam we've been staying in.
The UV Wavecast wants to extend a dameship for me. That should be my dream, right? Having casting for a job. Not working in a waste plant like Grandma figured I might. They offered me 500 years up front. Considering necessities and shelter, I'd be set for a good 200 years. If I become an elder. That's the catch, though. I feel that higher quality of days spent, even if you have less time overall, is that more satisfying? These past couple seasons, while they've been littered with tragedy, they've been the best moments of my life. Doesn't that make sense? Before that violet season and Enzo, I wasn't living. If I don't want to be an elder, if I don't need more time, if I don't want to be bound by the UV Wavecast, I don't know for certain yet. It's something I still need to really think about. I didn't feel it until we were there beyond the gates and into the Atmos-stuck atriums. The spires don't pierce the smogs, but they skim the belly of the roiling filth. It feels like chewing on tinfoil, this power. It's in the air. It's metallic and curls my nose. It makes me feel dimensions. I can't explain it any more than that. I don't think anyone else feels it. That's something that I'm pretty sure of now. Or, well, if anybody does, if Piley does, everybody, she hides it. The strange, fluffy figures that creep along the spires don't seem to be going in any patterns. Like, I feel this is going in. I'm sure Yule will feel it when she uses her runes. It's gotta be Eldritch related, right? That makes me wonder, though. Do you think the extra power in this place would make her be able to perform her ritual without the need for all of them? The couple that she's missing? Oh, but Yule, she won't stop going on about how horrible the Hollow Ship of Altol is. I don't know what she saw to villainize them how she does, but there is something that got deep within her. I wanted to talk to Yule. Maybe that would help. But the threshold to her alcove was sealed. Her runes were up. And within, she sat in a very familiar pose. There was no sound. Piley must have offered some of her runes for privacy. I tried my saliva, but the runes barrier stayed fixed. The only thing I could do was watch. Facing away from me, her back arched, her head fixed out in the great vista, Yule's hair pulsed, writhing to a current unfelt. Her stretchy suit that usually accentuates her body of marble appeared to slide, crawling around her skin. My casting bastion seemed to get nervous, its claws at my ribs shifting as it seemed to try to shrink behind my back. Wrapping an arm over my torso, I laid my hand on its appendage and offered it an auger salt chew as I watched. There didn't seem to be anything significant happening otherwise. Yule was still. I imagine she was chanting. Just as I was about to leave, something beyond Yule grabbed my attention. The smogs. It could have been a ripple or a refraction from the glimmering shield of the runes, but I thought I saw a pulse through the distant smogs, something green and blue among the frothing dark orange and browns. That same scroll that she was reading last 11th was floating near her. I hadn't thought anything of it before, but now I wondered what Pylee had given her. I wondered what old Zothic knowledge and benthic artifacts were held here in the spires of Lunatha. But I couldn't do anything else for the time being. So I left the threshold to go about my own aftersmogs. We arrived in Altol, Duren's Hollow for specificity. Pylee wanted to make sure my practice was somewhere more safe. The floors of the spires that were open to the atmosphere on all sides were safe, but apparently it isn't always only what's in front of me that gets affected. Pylee figured the fields of Altol could be good ground to practice in. She just had to check in with Duren. He was busy at his slab with many scrolls. Their conversation was brief. It appeared that Duren was working a little extra harder than he usually does for the Hollow Ship in preparation for the Day of Decay. He told us to use an abandoned field outside of a storage alcove. Pylee helped herself to a few treats and syrups, thanked Duren, and corralled me out towards our destination. I was nervous. Both times prior, I was nervous, but now that Pylee seemed to be forming ideas of how I could improve my control, she asked so many questions afterwards. And I mean immediately afterwards. And she wouldn't let me rest or give me a few moments once my vision was back. It was so difficult to explain what I was feeling, what I had gone through, what I see. You know, listeners, the way that I've spoken about magenta cellophane, it's just a fraction of what's going on. And I think Pylee was acutely aware of that, if she had been listening to my cast as long as I believe she may have been. The field was no different than any other in Altol. Twisted remains of bramble grasping towards the sky. Starved soil, rough rubble, and loose dirt making it difficult to ensure my footing where I drifted. I took a deep breath. Take your time. Pylee's words echoed in my head. I listened to them, letting them repeat, focusing on each word, syllable, letter, the space between everything. Where the waves were flat, in the sound of silence, I felt what I couldn't see. Strange geometry of parallels and hedrons. Polygons of things in other existences. Eldritch chords playing, pulling and plucking. Cores of life connected but so vastly different between dimensions.
Breathe!
I opened my eyes.
Breathe, Fable!
My lungs weren't in my control. I wasn't merely seeing magenta cellophane. No mere magenta after images flitted before me. I saw vistas of beauty and horror. Monolithic buildings. Monolithic monsters. Skies with no smogs. Ones with white smogs. Empty, dark voids, and blazing brightness unheard of.
Thin syrups crashed before me. Jungles of bountiful life enveloped me. All at once, and even more, even faster than all at once. Like the infinitesimally small space where the waves are flat on speech and song, but folded in 100,000 infinities upon themselves. And even more, and even more all at once than that at once. Fragmented dimensions laid bare.
It all overloaded me. I stood. I closed my eyes. I vomited. I passed out.
And I remember asking them
in that final, normal, slow urchin moment, what is petazedral?